Pray. Yes, Lord, we come to you this time. We thank you for again speaking to us already, Father, as we were exhorted to be salt of the earth, Lord, and to have pure hearts, Lord, and pure motives in everything we do and say, you know, we have great need of this and we need to hear this, Father. We pray that you would help us. And I pray now for our brother Jonas as he brings a message. I pray you would empower him. I pray that you would give him a burden and a clear message, Lord. I pray that you would just use him as a mouthpiece for you, Father. And I pray that we could have open hearts and hear what our brother has to share. And we pray once again that your presence and your glory would come down in this place. And God, that you would just move us on, Father, and help us to grow and more into your likeness. We pray all this in your precious holy name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, I too was grateful to be here. It's a blessing. Salt. Salt is a blessing. Salt brings out flavor. Salt blesses people, not just God's people, but also speaks a loud message to sinners. So I was very blessed to be here. Thank you for all those thoughts. It's good to be here again. For the children's lesson, just thinking of how God truly knows our heart. And sometimes man in his cleverness tries to deceive himself, you know, and God doesn't see my heart. So in the conflict of that, we just kind of do whatever we want because God truly knows our hearts. And we can never do that. We have a heart that's always seen by God. Every motive, everything. That's a blessing this morning that we have a God that knows that. So appreciated being here, just sitting here, watching, thinking over some of the things the Lord laid upon my heart. I was watching the little band of children. A number of weeks ago, I saw a group of bigger children that kind of spoke to my heart. They were young men and women, and it creates you to think. All these little children up here are on a journey. All of you bigger children and young people, all of us parents are on a journey. We're going through life. And so there's been some thoughts going through my mind on vision. I know I shared this message and one other time on a vision. Today it won't be that message, but it's going to be a little bit burdened from that thought. There's a vision that we have, whether it's for good or whether it's for bad. So my prayer is today that we would take the things that I've shared and we've been sharing and thinking and meditating on these things in our own life for ever since we're married, ever since we're living and endeavoring to walk with the Lord. And so some time ago I shared a message on the divine role of a father. And since then, I have often had a desire to speak of the divine role of a mother. Or a woman, and the values, and the tremendous values, and the blessings that that is in the kingdom of God. And so, as I thought of these things, I'm going to be speaking from the. We're in the middle of these things in our life. We're not in the beginning. We're not in the end, but we're in the middle. And so, I think you have to bear with me. We're not. Some of you are older and. You have a lot to teach me, and some of you are younger. And so may God in heaven take his word this morning and multiply the word of God that we could all learn together from the word. So this morning I would like to do that, and I'd ask that you pray for me. It seemed like the battle was raging, you know. The battle's real for the kingdom of God and for this subject. I'd like to share a few points probably 5 or 6 points the Lord laid upon my heart. There could be many others. And so for a title of the message this morning would be The Divine Role of a Woman or a Mother. Divine Role. I want us to think this morning that there's a difference. There's a difference between a role and a divine role. And I would like to look at that. I'd like to share a few things that I've studied and looked at and meditated on for the past number of probably a year in my life, for our own personal life, our own family. But I'd like to share some of those things that I was musing about for a number of months in my life. And I'm sure you all have as well, maybe not in these exact ways. So may we together learn. Today we'll be considering not speaking to a lot of women and girls and young people that are not born again. It would be considered today that we're speaking to born again people that are born again, that have committed their life to God. And so when I be speaking from that, there's going to be situations that I won't be able to disclaim and won't be able to cover. But however, through all that, even if there are situations like that here, that we could still pick it up and see God's burden and God's vision. That's some of the foundational thoughts. I won't want to go through it all the time and just always be making disclaimers. So we have to hear each other. The mothers here today, I trust most of you and young girls that are becoming mothers someday, have the Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal word printed on your hearts. Because this call and this role of a mother and a woman, it comes from the kingdom of God. It comes from the kingdom. We heard these things. I heard these things many, many times in my life. And so that today I would like for this to be an encouraging message. Very encouraging. Because I believe we live in an ever-pressing time that's pushing this down. And we'll see some of those ways. To pick it up high. I like to pick it up very high this morning. For some of you mothers, maybe there's someone here this morning that's struggling immensely with life. But I would like to take it and I'd like to pick it up very high. It's very important. I reminisce over my life. And the beauty of a mother. That takes care of you and tucks you into bed and tells you she loves you. Think about that, your children. Some of you mothers can get weary sometimes of doing the same old thing every day. It's the same old thing. Not the same old thing. I would like to look at 5 or 6, according to what Lord gives time, 5 or 6 different values of this. And the value this morning, the first one I'd like to look at is the value of submission. We've heard these things, I know. But the next one we'd like to look at is the value of being a keeper at home. The third and fourth, I would say maybe the third one we'll look at, a value of being a helper. And then the next one, we'll look at the value of purity and prayer for a godly mother. Turn your Bibles. I'd like to have some opening verses for some thought, just to provoke our thoughts. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 16, you have your Bibles, you can turn to there. Proverbs 29, verse 16 to 19. It says, in verse 16 of Proverbs chapter 29, it says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And in verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. It says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than him. And we can continue to read. But the verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Think about this. Let us think about those scriptures this morning. The wicked, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see the fall. Were either the righteous stemming the wicked, or were part of the wicked falling with the wicked? Righteous shall see the wicked fall, in Proverbs. I know these are Proverbs. So some thoughts that kind of were some foundational thoughts. You can turn your Bible to 1 Peter. A lot of familiar scriptures we'll be reading today. And some of these values of a godly role of a mother. Some values. Has much to do with the Father, but we won't speak about that today. There's a lot to speak about. First Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, on the role of submission. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And then it changes, but we'll just stop there. There's something there for husbands. But we're going to look at this. Sarah, she called Abraham Lord. Created a lot of conversation in our home in the past week and a half. Have your wife call you Lord in obedience and submission. With an understanding here. It says, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. See, there's a beauty in submission. There's a beauty in submission in a woman that I don't know that we understand that. I don't know that I understand that in its fullness. Because there's a place where there's no fear, and there's no amazement, there's no anxiety when there's just submission. And sometimes the disclaimer we won't be able to talk about, there's difficulties in that with the husband's role. But there's a beauty there this morning with any amazement. And the word there is to not be afraid without any anxiety. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Father. Submission. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 25. It's just cutting in there. Many of these things are speaking to the church, using the marriage as the example. So in verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as Christ is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then again, I figured I'd put that verse in there. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So if a husband is about that business, It's part of that role. But it does give the indication, give the clear message, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There are two New Testament areas that these are two New Testament areas that call wives to submission to their husbands. As you study the Old Testament, there isn't a lot said about women. There is some. Abraham, we read that. There is some. There isn't a lot of women honored and picked up. And for that reason, I think we see why the church or the professing Christian world has called that any time that we say something like wives submit to your husbands, we would be considered judicial law abiders. And some would even come to a place and say that Paul was in error by his letters because he was still struggling with the judicial law, trying to make women lower than a man. And I found these things as interesting doctrines in the church creeds of people. Like, it's not false. These things are real thinking. Like, because of the thinking that Jesus Christ come, and now man and woman are equal. In that sense, according to the Word of God, they are equal in light of salvation. But in the divine order and plan of God, a wife is always submissive to the husband. And I was just thinking how we do that, how man does that in every area. Just think about many of the women of old just simply existed under the leadership of their husbands or their groups of people. And there are many cultures today that still practice that very thing. Deprived women, just pressed down. That's not the message this morning. The message from the Word of God is godly women, filling their role, loving God, obeying their husband. It's different than oppression and depravity. And, you know, some would say that from the modern cry that we are all equal. It's a modern cry. We're all equal. Before God, in the light of salvation, it's very true. We're all equal. And if we practice wives submitting to our husbands, we are under a law. And some of those things are done in many other biblical doctrines. They're done in such ways that are so spiritual, but yet so erring and heretical in doctrine. It will never work. It will never produce what we want as far as godly seed and godly values and Christian heritage that stands long when we're past and gone in our grave. One time we were in a conversation and one woman asked the question when we were sharing. She says, "Are you trying to tell me that I need to obey my husband in everything?" They're difficult questions. But sometimes those are just wrong questions. You married him. You know, you married him. It's very difficult sometimes, the situations that men and women find themselves in. Very difficult. And I want to hear, we want to be able to help and bless. But yes, obey, wives, obey your husbands. For this is the Word of God. Primarily we're speaking to Christian mothers this morning. Some of these things are done away with. You know, we think, well, submission, yes, submission. I don't know that I'm unsubmissive, but I just can't do that. I can't support that. And you do that. Man and his cleverness does that with head veilings and foot washing and the holy kiss and just many things. We just kind of try to shave ourselves out of just practical obedience, and the blessing goes away. The values and the blessing of submission goes away. Them are just some verses I had on submission. Like, I don't know that any of us really needed to hear that. I did, for my own self and my own wife and I. But just remember that there's beauty in submission. Beauty. It is, it's also overwhelming for men, husbands. When wives are at a place where they say, whatever you want. Now, that doesn't mean that they're There are no helpers, and we're going to get into that. That's why I chose some of these values. They're keepers at home, and they're also helpers. They're created a helper. They're created a helpmeet for us. The second role we'd like to look at and continue to move on for time. The second role is a keeper at home. This morning, you think of a keeper at home. Very familiar scriptures. In Titus, Titus chapter 2, is that verse 5, it says, to be discreet, pure, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I think some of those verses were shared a couple Sundays ago. The 1828 says, the dictionary says about a keeper. The bigger picture this morning of being a keeper at home, one that holds or has possession of anything. I want us to think about the accusation that comes toward the church of God about a woman just being an underdog, just being less than man. But I want to be able to, for us to see as the sisters or the women that this is a high calling. This is a high calling. This is not an underdog that you have within you as a woman of God, the possession of children. And a helpmeet for your husband. A glorious, glorious calling. And the world is pressing against it. One who has the care, custody, or superintendence of anything. Now that's the meaning of a dictionary. Think of this morning, of your homes, our homes. Think of the very precious children that sit in the homes. Sit in our homes day after day and week after week. Think of them. They were sitting up here. Precious children that the Lord has given us. The other word meaning is simply guard. See the word guard and keep and guard. A mother that guards her house well has a beautiful role. It doesn't say lead. It says guard. Ask questions. I love to ask my wife questions as a man. They have beautiful insight. They see things. They understand. They have keener senses at times. Sometimes we just see over the top of things. We don't always see. Listen, they're there for help. A keeper at home is a helpmate. Very precious role. Simply guard. It says to tend to have care, as the Lord told Adam, to dress and keep the garden. That's what the Lord told Adam. Then in a practical way, that was in a bigger sense. Then in a practical way, the dictionary meanings and a few different things I looked up, is to keep house, to maintain a family state. To keep house and to maintain a family state. In performing daily duties, chores, teaching the children how to respond to life as they grow in a fallen world. This makes me think of our values and the values of our mothers. Not just our mothers, but our entire makeup. The value that is written upon the heart is what God is watching. He wants us to live that value. You know, we spent a little time visiting about our own lives this past week. You know, sometimes we have thoughts and ideas that can be pretty lofty and pretty high. But you know, as Brother Mark was sharing earlier this morning, a few weeks ago when I saw young men and women, I remembered my life. I've been thinking about that. You know, 20 years go by just like that. They go by. And I believe that the Lord has written things on my heart and your hearts. But the devil, the enemy of our soul, likes to snatch them away. He likes to take them out and replace them with counterfeits. So those are things why I had a heart to pick it up this morning for our own lives and our family. Just the daily duties and chores, teaching our children how to respond to life as they grow in a fallen world. Because every generation of children that are ever living on earth are growing up in a fallen world. There's a beautiful opportunity there to have godly children. I'm not thinking, I was thinking about that this morning. I'm not necessarily thinking about particularly schooling, like lessons, math, arithmetic. I'm not thinking about that. However, it does play into that more in the area of teaching their life. However, it is in a very influential place to teach your children life when you teach them some lessons. We appreciate that as a family. It helps keep a goal in mind. You see nature, you see character, you see things in your own life that you never knew was there, you know, and maybe you can identify. That's me. That's me. And it helps us all together to reach and try to press toward a goal. Teaching and training the children. Very big goal. Very big, not a goal, but a very, very big and high calling and a role. It's strengthened to help keep the vision. The word means continue. To repeat continually. Not to cease. This has been something that we've been blessed with in our own life to think about. Just repeat continually, continue. This has been a tremendous struggle in many, many times throughout life as the generations of, as we've traveled through life, is we get weary. And I'd like to think this morning when we get weary that we could sit still just for a little bit. And we would reminisce and we would look out over our children. Maybe at a supper table. It doesn't matter if we have two or if we have six or if we have ten. And just think about this. And may we ask the questions at times. What do I really want? What is really the passionate drive of my life, your life, sisters, men too? What is the core value that is coming and beating and pumping from the inner person that you are in Jesus Christ, the core value down in your soul? That message will be conveyed to our children. It will be. That message is inevitable. It always is conveyed. A mother's heart is conveyed to her children. It's that way. It's not just three lessons a day. It's a lifetime. It's a journey of watching, teaching. Preparing them for womanhood and manhood. I also understand that there are very, very difficult situations in life. We do homeschool in our family, and a part of that is lessons, and a big part of that is all of us together. And sometimes that's why I shared. I'm going to be sharing from where we're at in life, and the goal is to encourage. We have challenging times, but we also have blessings in our life. Blessings that we appreciate, we love. So the teaching aspect is it's a divine plan. You know, sometimes there's difficult situations where there isn't really a clear way. We don't always know which way to go. But one thing for sure is by the divine hand of God, He has made a mother and a father. He has made them 100% responsible for the spiritual well-being of their children. Now, there's other things that can play into that. 100% responsible, whether that's training and teaching them lessons at home, or whether that's delegating that teaching maybe to another for situations. But that teaching would be in harmony with the forming of that child, because that child is heading for eternity. My children are heading for eternity. They're not just going to be little. And some of our children that are sitting up here, they're going to be 20 someday, just like that. And think with me the very importance of the formative, the beautiful years of their forming, their minds being formed. It's not a little thing. It's very important, I believe, in the heart of God. Very important. And this subject breaks my heart because I see the failure in my own life. I see the struggles that we face. But I do believe that God puts those things in our hearts, and He keeps us where He wants us. I need the Lord. We need the Lord in our life. We need Him in the light of this, keepers at home. I would say it's the highest and the very best calling of womanhood this morning, to be a keeper at home. Highest and the very best. This is truly not a position of an underdog. This is a beautiful role, and I want that to be clear this morning. And the reason I say that, because I looked and observed and studied a few quotes from career women and the keeper at home, from women of career, and I won't mention names, but I found their quotes, and I would like to share some of them quotes for us just to think. Now, these quotes are not something that I endorse or agree. They're just quotes from a secular career business women. Listen to them. One of the quotes from one career-seeking woman said, "Don't limit yourself." Many people limit themselves to what they think. They can go as far as their mind will let them. What you believe, remember, you can achieve. And I don't know if you remember that, if you listen carefully to those words. There's truth mixed into that. But you cannot do whatever you want to. You cannot. It's against heaven. It's against heaven. Another quote said, this one woman, she said, "My mother told me that fear was not an option. I was always told that women are stronger, so I believed it." I want us to think about that in light of the turmoil and the struggle that we face with God order and God ordained family. Daddy's leading, mommy's submitting. Think about the folly of that thought pattern. The folly. One woman said, a casino owner said, "The key to balancing work and family is to be present and focus on what is in front of you. Be it." I remember this. I think it's key to the thinking patterns that we can be bombarded with from our surroundings, and even sometimes affect us. She says, let me quote that again, "Being present and focus what is in front of you. Be it a conversation with your children or your husband or working on a business case." Tell me what happened with those three things. Your children and your husband become on the same platform as a business. Just think about it. It's a career-driven motive. And it shines its light. It shines its light at us. It does. It does. It makes things happen in the heart of women that is not God ordained, I believe. It's not God ordained. They're way out there. I mean, these women are way out there, and their children are some of them don't have any. If they have, they have one, and he's very spoiled, and he'll probably end up in Miami or wherever, some of these correctional facilities. I just want us to see the difference in the beauty of the role, that this role of God is so much greater than this role of career and careering and running after bread making and winning. It says, another one said, the same woman, the same casino owner said, "Don't feel guilty about enjoying your work. Your children are getting a great role model in shaping their future happiness." And I just thought, and I wrote, you can see the guilt all over that statement. He said, "Don't feel guilty about your work because your children are getting a role model." And I just thought, you can see the guilt all over that statement. You know, it's encouraging to see people express themselves, and it looks kind of flowery, but it's a shame of the flesh. Keeper at home. This, again, my heart was that this would be an inspiration to do that, to keep doing that, inspire more of that and continuance in that. I thought it was interesting. The eternal blessings in God's role. I just think I looked up some statistics in the bread making and the money making of our time. In the wage difference in the high class American, the wage difference from men to women in high class society, where a man works in a management position and a woman works in management position. These are two average. Now this could vary. A man averages $81,744. Now these numbers, I kind of tried to look at them from a pretty trusted source. Can't guarantee that for sure. But anyway, the women in that sense are at $60,736. Now that's management position. Two roles. Service work, just natural workers, whatever you call it. Men average out to $37,180 and women at $30,212. That is the present average in the United States of America. Now, I don't say these numbers that we're going to try to figure out who's going to compete with these numbers. I say these things to expose and to help us to see why the Church of Jesus Christ, or maybe the in at large, I'm not judging or criticizing anyone, but why there's such a struggle. Why there's such a struggle? Because this beautiful principle of the role of a mother being a keeper at home is continually being shaved away and blocked and pushed out. This career-driven world, may this become a vanity to God's people. I believe that. May it become a vanity to God's people. Because of the little children that are crying from Monday to Friday, and they get dropped off at babysitters because of this career-driven world. I want it to become a vanity to me, to my family. I want God's people to be encouraged that this is a vanity. Our values for women and sisters, our values are much greater than that. It's preparing to pass on the values to the next generation. A closing thought on this point of keepers at home. Heard a number of testimonies, even our own testimony. There has been, some of these are true testimonies from among us. There's maybe sisters that have worked 10, 12, 15 years in their life. They've worked a steady job in this community, and they're here. We are working through these things in life. And so we would make ourselves open and vulnerable to that, because my wife has done the same. We want to make ourselves open. We don't know how open to make ourselves, but we see that has caused a tremendous struggle at times. Is I got to be doing something. I've got to be doing something to kind of go ahead. And it's not that the desire is not there to let it go and let the breadwinner be taken. But just think about that this morning. 13, 15 years of working. Maybe not all of that's wrong. Learning submission to others. Maybe cleaning a shop break room out. You know, sometimes I have my daughters come out and clean our break room out, and I give them a little bit to help build some. But we have to bring the career down. That's the burden of the Bible. Is the career world is not what we're going after. It's women of God, preparing women to become mothers. I believe that if someone has a different testimony to that, but I believe that if you've done that in your life, when you get married about 1 or 2 years in, two or three children, there's a tremendous struggle to just say, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay this morning. I want to pick that up. It's okay. But may we see that maybe a little bit on the front end of it. Beforehand, let's prepare our hearts in light of the Word of God. Let's be proactive. Just a thought. I wanted to close that keepers at home with that. Just a thought I had. One thing, even for us men, I had to think of those numbers I read off on the average income, breadwinning. Supporting the home is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. And I think many times a ever-pressing world continues to press at us and tells us that this is an end in itself. This is all you need. But a breadwinning is a means to an end. It will come to an end. Our heritage, our families, our children will follow us and follow with us and beside us. And maybe not everything will be come out right if we don't follow the God, if we don't follow God's pattern for these things. Breadwinners, to win bread is a means to an end. This next point I'm going to look at is our wives are beautiful helpers. The role of a helper. I want us to think about that, being a role of a helper. You are a perfect helper for your husband. You ever think about it that way? A perfect helper. That should be encouraging. I don't always respond right to that, but my wife is a perfect helper to me, and yours is too. Genesis 2:18 says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him.'" And when you read through Genesis there, you think of those beautiful principles and truths. It says, "I will make him a helpmeet for him because the Lord took one of my ribs, Adam." You know, the Lord took one of your ribs, and formed a wife for you to be a helpmeet. Treat her that way. May we do that as husbands. She's a rib from my side, a glorious helper, and made a wife for you and I. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." Another translation, it says, the New Living Translation says, "The Lord God said, 'It is good. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" Now, if we view our wives as anything different than that, it doesn't work out real good. That your wife and my wife is just right for you, and she's there to help you. That's a blessing. Very much a blessing this morning. Your wife is your helper. Your divine role of a helper in the home. It is not a leader. I had to think, a man of God can go through tremendous difficulty in his life. He can go through very deep water, very discouraging times in life when he has a helper by his side. A man of God can suffer more than he ever thought he could. He had a wife that stands by his side and says, I'm here for you. I'll help you. I know we experience that, but I just want to pick that up. You can help your husband. Sometimes he will not always respond right. You're a divine helper. You're not a leader. I thank God for my wife in that area. Thank God for her. Very convicting in my own life. Think of the word helper, the role of a helper. Just like to read a story of a woman that was struggling in her life. She said, "I had been a born-again Christian," this lady is not given by name, "for about 10 years when I cried out to the Lord one day after reading an article. It seems like life has been terrible. I've had more problems since I was converted than I had before." She said, "Dear Lord, show me. I want to know what you're trying to change me in." And she was a married woman. It wasn't very long after this prayer that the Lord showed me through His Word that I was out of order as a wife and as a mother. I truly had no idea. I thought I was fine. I worked hard. I cleaned hard. I was full of plans and goals for myself, my husband, and my children. They could ask me anything, bring me any problem, and I would know just what they should do. I was full of advice and counsel. I had so-called spiritual wisdom coming out of my ears, but somehow nobody was the best interested. Nobody wanted to hear me. I put Christian literature in front of my family. I exposed them to everything. I exposed them to good Christian friends. As a mother, I moralize every issue. I moralize every issue. I cut myself off from some of the dearest relatives and made literally a mess. I have obviously had no idea how to live. So I let go and I let God, this woman's testimony. After a heartfelt prayer, God was faithful. He sent me an older woman in the Lord who began to share with me her insight, God's expressions for a wife and mother. And I began to read the scriptures with that mind. I began to see the principle from Genesis to Revelation. At first it wasn't easy. I had to rid myself of so many preconceived ideas that were wrong and submit myself to the Holy Spirit so that God's truth could do a work in me. Most wives in a pop culture, not pop music, but popular culture, they help in this fashion. They help. I help my husband, they say. I work, I clean, I shop. I tell him to wear his hat. I take out the garbage. I tell him how to take out the garbage, how to sit in his chair, how to dress, not to drink, not to smoke, not to eat this or that. I tell him when the garage needs cleaned, when the yard work needs to be done. I tell him where he should go and what time he should be home, who his friends should be, how to spend his money. I tell him when he embarrasses me. I tell him what's wrong with his boss and his mom and his friends. I tell him everything. I tell him how he should handle the children. I tell him what car he should buy. I tell him what church he should attend. How often he should read his Bible. How long he should pray. And what ministries he should be involved with. I let the hostess at the restaurant know where we'd like to sit. I help him order low-fat cholesterol foods and he don't even like them. I pay the bill and I decide to tip. I tell him where we should live and I let him know where I will not live. I tell him where we should go on vacation and I let him know where we won't go on vacation. I tell him what job he should accept and what courses he should take. I open all his mail and I screen his calls. I make all the social arrangements. What's best for us. That's how she feels. I let him know that after all my plans, this is all I am. I'm just here. I help, 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 help. All she's doing is helping. Highly extravagant, ridiculous, you might say. But this is the sense into many homes today. This is the scene and the sense into many homes today. Read this scene. Read this to your husband and see what his reaction will be. My wife didn't read this to me. I actually read this first. And I had my own personal reactions. Think about this. We did read this together. The concept of a helper in the biblical sense is just not understood. All the world's advice in marriage that we hear every day in magazines screams out against God's plan. Women are deceived in many ways. So much advice seems sensible and practical if we look at circumstances, but the Bible tells us clearly not to look at circumstances. Just find out God's way, God's principle, and walk in it. Then you will have a blessing. Some of you probably have the book, some of the things we read through, Daughters of Sarah, whose daughters you are. It's been a blessing to read through that. A perfect helper. The next point I'm going to look at is Titus chapter 2, back to the familiar scriptures. Titus chapter 2, verse 5, again. For those last two values that we want to look at. It says to be discreet in that word chaste there, parentheses, and purity. Chaste and pure. What we want to look at is the word purity. A call for a woman in a home is purity. While this word means inwardly pure in heart, while this purity inward is an inward in nature, it also affects the person's conduct. In like fact, if you go to 2 Peter, some verses there that give the benefit of a pure woman. Pure in not just moral purity, but I believe a purity in design and motives. Just a pure woman will shake a husband like he's never been shooken before, especially as an unbeliever. In 2 Peter 3, verse 2, it says, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. Now these would be husbands that obey not the truth. They would observe this chaste conversation, which would be a pure conducting life. That man is touched every time. He is, I believe, according to the word. Now he may not always show up, but he goes to bed warring against this thing because it's God's plan. And he still has a choice, I understand that. But I was just blessed by that. The area of purity. Think of the power of a sister by her chaste conversation can win a man to salvation. Now just think of the role. Well, we have quite a world that presses the different thoughts at us to try to help a man get saved from a woman's perspective. This principle also applies, I thought, this was an unbeliever in 2 Peter, but also applies if we would give testimonies, it also applies here. You know, when I get erring in my life and situations and my wife responds to me in pure motives, it brings conviction, right? It just brings conviction for me. And so the principle never changes. It's pure, chaste conversation. That's the role of a woman, purity. Many a men, many a sons and daughters turn their life around when they see the purity of a chaste mother. This is God's designable way to bring conviction upon erring situations. Not just moral purity. Think of a pure and chaste spirit towards your husband and family. The power you have to portray this. This is very encouraging to a husband and children. When this wife is here and here only, pure, single, one vision, one eye. This is what God has given me, my husband and my children. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is the chaste virgin. It's a call. It's the Apostle Paul calling for purity in the church. We'll just read them and interpret them a little bit here in marriage. I don't think we're doing justice to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. We'll start in verse 1. He said, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That word there stuck out again. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that you may present you as a chaste virgin. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I understand this is the church. I believe that, but I don't think it's going to do justice to make the picture look that from a chaste woman, how Paul was jealous over that. He says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through her subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ in this matter. The simplicity. It's very simple, but yet very, very defiling and erring in much and much of the culture surrounding. And it affects us. In reality, it affects us. Think about this. The last point is a woman of prayer. Think of a woman that prays, the value of prayer. She prays for her family. She prays for others. Maybe I should have put prayer first. I put submission first. But prayer is something that is so powerful that I don't know that we understand that. Prayer, a mother that prays. I know that there are mothers that pray. I know there are many nights that my mother prayed. I bless God for my mother. She prayed for me in my erring situations, and I could never wore off the word of God that she would share with me. My mother would share with me night after night when I would leave. She would share one familiar verse with me. And it still sticks with me today. Comes to me in German. Was der Mensch säet, sagt er Anna. What a man sows, shall he reap. And she would say, son, you're going to reap what you're sowing. And I would go, and I would go with my friends, and that word would just stay there. And it would just plague my mind. And I couldn't shake it away. And today I count it a rich blessing that you mothers would pray, and you would lead, and you would teach the word of God, and you would say it because it sticks there. The word of God. I knew that if I'm going to reap what I'm sowing, I'm in big trouble. I knew that as a young man. And thank God he spared my life. Because of Jesus Christ and my mother, praying mother. May you be encouraged to be a praying mother. Many testimonies could be given to those scenarios today. There's mothers in here praying, I'm sure. They're praying for things that you don't even know how to utter. Sometimes you can pray. Satan this morning likes to bring the age-old accusation to us. I can't do it. You know? I just can't do it. This is too hard. Sometimes we say those things. We get discouraged in life. This is hard. Life is hard. But it's a lot harder on the other side. It's a lot harder on the other side. It's hard. But I'd like for us to look at that when we maybe are discouraged in life this morning. Think about the times when you sit beside your children and they start sensing that mama thinks, I can't do it. You know what happens to the little hearts? Their hearts go down, and they go down, and they go down when mama just can't do it. What's mama going for? I want us to think about that this morning. What are you going for? High education? Careers? What's mama going for this morning? I'd like to make that plea. What's the cry of your heart as a mother for them precious children? Think about it. You can do it by the grace of God. A mother that wakes up in the morning with a purpose. I'd like to give us two scenes in closing for the thought of prayer. With one purpose in mind, a mother with one purpose. Not two, one. It's to fulfill the role in her life. Because children very quickly pick up that they're not needed. They may be feeling the way. They never offered to come into this world. We brought them into this world. Wake up with a purpose that you will be about one thing this day. Is to be there. To be there whatever it costs. Whatever it costs until the sun goes down. And them days are a blessing. God created those days for a blessing. He did not create those days for us to think that we failed every day. And we never did anything right. And there are times that we do fail and we need to be willing to repent and ask our children to forgive us. Ask our husband to forgive us and we can just move forward in newness of life. God is with us. He's not against this plan. God is with us. The very God of the universe has His eye upon you every morning you wake up with a row of children. He has His eye on you. And there's also, as the Hebrew writer says, this is not, I'm also not trying to take this out of context, but there's a great cloud of witness also watching from eternity, and they're watching family. They're watching the church. The church depends on you mothers. By the divine grace of the Lord, we can do it. I believe we can do it. By the divine grace of God. Not easy, but the other way is horrible. Tragedy and loss and sin and darkness this morning. That's one scene. Another scene I'd like for us to think about. I thought about switching these scenes up so I could close with a little bit more of a positive one. But I'd like for us to think about this scene this morning. A mother has a couple of children. ranging from 4 to 5 years old into toddlers taking bottles. Sends the little one off to preschool and drops the others off to babysitters crying for the first few weeks as they arrange their new life. Drops others off and a babysitter for 8 hours of that day, 5 days a week. I want us to think this is reality in American culture. This is reality. And then on Friday night, she comes home and she's complaining to her husband that she needs some space for herself on Saturdays to try to figure out who she is and what she's really about. I'm wanting this to be reality because it plagues us. She wants to go out with her friends for coffee. She wants to figure out what God has for her. Think about it. And all along, these children are looking and they're saying, where do I belong? Who's my mother and who's my father? Saturdays all day, she is with her friends at the coffee shop and shopping at the mall. She just wants to relax. She just wants to get away from the whole thing. Do we understand the little hearts and what's happening? What if that would have happened to you and I this morning? I don't think that we'd have been here. We didn't all have perfect backgrounds, but we wouldn't be here this morning. Most of us wouldn't be here this morning if we wouldn't have had what we had. The beautiful heritage of mothers. Now, all of that said, I think we're facing an ever-pressing glare into some of this drive to get us to go a different direction. May we be honest with ourselves. May we make practical changes to make an amendment to that folly. Let mothers be keepers at home. Now you can go drink a coffee with a friend. That's you got to hear the heart. I just bring in stories out. I bring in pictures out. These two pictures, I believe, are kingdoms apart. I believe they're kingdoms apart. And children are the repercussions and the fragments and the bones along the journey. By this most noble call for a godly woman in a culture that continues to put on display that you, godly sisters, married and unmarried, you're missing out on all the fun. Come and find out who you really are. Come and find out who you really are. I'd like to share some verses in prayer at the back of the Bible. I got a list of verses. Pray for your husband. Some practical ways who we can pray for. Pray for your husband that he could walk in the fear of God. And when he has a decision before him to make, that he could do that in the fear of God. Pray that God, that he would do that. He could lead our home, that he could lead the home. Pray for your father if you're unmarried, for the same. You know, and sometimes those minds of a, you know, as sometimes a young man, pray for my father. You don't understand how imperfect he is. But I just want to say that picking this up again, if you will choose this morning to pray for your father, if he's sitting beside you today, even as imperfect as he is, it can only be the betterment of his life. It can only be the betterment of his life. Pray for your father, young sister, because sometimes he's sitting and peering out over eternity and he don't always know what to do. But you can pray. It'll change his life. It'll encourage him like he's never been encouraged. We like to say a lot of things. We have a lot of ideas. But pray. Young men, young women, young men too. I'm speaking to women today. Or pray for the authority that God has put, that has placed in your life. A very powerful avenue of prayer this morning that you have as a young woman or a mother. You can pray. Pray for your children. Pray for wisdom. Know how to handle all the little details that you never knew was coming this day. Because they come and they come new. They're not new to God, but they're new to us at times. One thought I would like to leave with us, the last thought before I share some of these verses of prayer. I think I'll read some of these verses and then I'll share the thought. It says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Seek Him as you're going on this journey. Whatever you may be doing, you can be praying. You can spend time quiet from the maze, but you can pray continually without ceasing. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is a charge for everyone, but primarily for mothers this morning. Pray without ceasing. Pray. Ask this morning and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask this morning. Sometimes we like to tell, but let's ask this morning. Ask and pray and ask God. If you have burdens on your hearts, sisters, mothers, and I know you do, we have them as men and sisters do. Pray and ask God. Help. I need wisdom. Help me, Lord. And God will do that primarily through your husband and the authority that's in your life. Mothers. Now just a note, one thought I would like to leave with us, for us mothers and sisters, to stir us up. Something that I want to be an encouragement. Maybe there's someone that's faint in heart this morning. Very faint. Don't know if they can do it another day. It's very possible. Those things are real in life. I want us to do this. Ask some questions in life. Take a look over life. Maybe take some time in quietness and just look over life. And ask the question. What are my goals? What are my goals? Why am I discouraged? We ask that question because we do get discouraged too. Why? Ask a few questions, not in condemnation. Ask the question, what are my goals? What am I really wanting? What do you really want? What do we want at the end? Because at the end of the bigger picture is the goal. So with that in mind, that's been a blessing. That's been a tremendous blessing for us as we journey along in our life. And like I shared earlier, we are in the middle of this journey. We need your prayers. And we endeavor to do that for you all. That we would not faint by the way, that mothers would not go out of the batting field, so to speak, and just quit and give up. That your mothers would be supported. And husbands, I didn't have nothing really to say all this message about the husbands. You're called to be there. We're called to be there for our wives. We're called to be as Christ, give his life for the church. If we would be of that nature continually, it would continue to be more of a blessing for our dear wives. So we ask for your prayers, some of the thoughts and burdens that the Lord laid upon my heart. And my prayer was that it was not out of balance, or it might have felt that way. It might have felt like women. But I'd like to pick the standard up. It's a beautiful role for your home and the values that you have. The value of eternity is given to you. One opportunity. Only one, and then it's passed. So God bless you all, and pray for us as a family.